said that the financial statements were not prepared in accordance with the framework. That was the issue that I spoke to you about, the notes. The notes to the financial statements moved then from 11 pages in the previous year to 30 pages. That's the figures I gave you. Our audit committee and our council felt that those notes, as highly technical and detailed as they are, were not actually appropriate for the institution because most of the notes spoke about transactions that in our case we didn't perform. So in that annual report behind, you will see all the pages and pages and pages of notes which generally are correct with the GRAP standards, yes, but have not had any bearing on our financial transactions. Then the material misstatements and non-current assets and disclosure items identified by the auditors in the submitted financial statements were subsequently corrected, resulting in the financial statements receiving an unqualified complete opinion. We had to restate the values of our office equipment and furniture, which is seriously aged. I said that the auditor was rigid. I would not in my wildest dreams have thought I needed to speak to Portfolio Committee and Parliament about the value of a 50-year-old desk. But there it is. Obviously, we have taken note. We take it very seriously. We've given it immediate attention. It has been revalued and restated. And in the following financial year, we will take note of everything that is raised here. We will have our financial statements scrutinized by grant specialists to ensure that we have done everything that he would expect us to do and disclose in the notes as this year has shown us. So we have taken immediate action, and I would think that we have dealt with the issues that the Auditor General raised.
Sorry, this is our CEO. I hope the two gentlemen sitting in the back of you to hear what you're saying, take note what you're saying, because it is a concern, and you people need assistance. And I feel on this point that you raise what the age is saying, to evaluate a red asset and so forth and so forth, that you as William Humphrey Gallery, Arts Gallery need support in the department will be there to assisting you people because of the edge that you must pay extra for somebody who must assist you because you don't have that funding.
The next question I really would like to hand to Mike Rennie about how the allocations are prepared, how they're budgeted for by Department of Arts and Culture. This is not in my scope of control, and it is handed down to us by the department. Thank you.
Allocations are hard. We sit in an economic situation where probably the Minister of Finance will paint a very dark picture. So what I'm trying to say is the department's budget or the total budget has for the past few years been cut. And we've gone to really serious lengths not to apply those cuts to our institutions. And an institution like the William Humphrey Art Gallery, although they are getting an incremental cut, in a time where budgets are being cut year on year. They have not received a cut in the model. But I would concede that the allocation is not adequate. Like all of our institutions, allocations are not adequate. Like the department, allocations are not adequate to actually service whatever we need to do. So we do concede that it's incremental, but we go to serious lengths not to impose the cuts that are imposed on us through our institutions. We unfortunately had to do that with three of our institutions for next year. We just could not absorb those cuts anymore. But we were very circumspect with that, and we made sure that those cuts will not have a
we are 20 years in this democratic era.
And I find it very much concerning that we will have such vague responses from you. When you get such responses, we get don't get as the department and then our institution. It's not what we want. We've deployed people so that they can be strategic in everything that they do. To me, it's a very, very vague response. We think that the people that we've deployed in all these departments are strategic. And they must know where they take the money, where it is needed, the needs of the people. We are talking about a very poor province here. That needs consideration, serious consideration. And I hope it's not a matter of changing words here, like a talk show. We need to see it, that it's going to be done. And people are taking serious consideration, Shepherds. I thought I needed to reflect on this because we can't have such responses from the PAC. Now, what are we doing here? Why are we here? And why are we talking about? Because it means we're still going to talk about this next year again, the same way we are doing. I find it very much unacceptable, Shepherds. And thank you.
Members, we answered in it's sometimes difficult that you can be chairing and then you are the first person who actually put yourself. Because if I take the on the podium, if you take the report of last week of the department, then you see, next month, when I book here close next month, financial year, as next month, is at the end. Now, last week we received this report. And you know, some of the performing arts and investing in what? Investing in culture, in all those programs. Now, a lot of money is not spent. And I think Honorable Tafana is very openly and honestly, and most of the members last week, the report from the department, who are the mother body, and those small ones fall under the mother body, if you can say it like this. Now, if an entity in a small one comes today and even raise the concern of how small the budgets are and how much load are on their shoulder, and it's those people who are not even spending their budget who are the big ones, then I agree with them, so we can't accept it. Now, then you ask yourself, where are we? In which direction are we actually moving to? If we're talking about, as I earlier said, next year we celebrate 20 years of democracy. And Northern Cape is poor. If you like it or not, it's true. And the distance is vast. It's very, very vast. Now, if you look even in the transport cost, if people are traveling from to the R, to claim to Carpinia, to Victoria West, to Carnarvon, you can name it up, to reach out to those communities. Only the transport cost will take the most out of the budget, because petrol is expensive. Where's the wear in your day? So those is the things that the department must already unite interested, must take in considering. Maybe you must take one of us of the committee you understand for me to lead meetings or treasury or because I'm not counsel, as I'm sorry to say, the respondent that the department is giving here. And it's a pretty chairperson. Our DG is not here. And I didn't even receive apology. So I want to be serious about a telephone call. A telephone call is not a written apology. The minister sent a written apology to the speaking. Now people have to take a very serious apology on our work. Over to you.
Chair, I'll be quick. I just want to add something to this point. The Humphrey, William Humphrey Arts Gallery is the only national museum in the Northern Cape. In other words, the Northern Cape as a province receives 6 million rand from the total budget. I think the department should think about that.
Another mamita?
To add my way to what we're discussing about here, as representatives of the people, as members of parliament, we do our oversight role. If we call an entity like they are coming here to come and present to us and listen to their challenges, why must those challenges not be attended to by the department? It means next year they'll come with the same challenges. Why do we have an entity which we don't even want to care what the challenges are. When they come here, we have to listen to their challenges and try and find out how can we assist them and help them. Because it's an aspect of the Department of Arts and Culture. As she's saying, it's the only national gallery in the Northern Cape. That must be taken seriously. Thank you very much.
So you want to say also you want to bite on this one?
Yeah, I know some of the challenges that we have been raised. I think Mala is going to your statement, you must be very clear on the issues that are raised here. You should say that actually it's true that I know William Humphrey is the only gallery, and everybody expected them to do everything the Northern Cape. Even when I met with the HOD the last time at the Northern Cape, don't tell you about budget constraints, but I think Northern Cape is one of the least funded provinces, at least, you know. And I think it's very, very unfair because as we find, we must look at the problem, its dynamics as well. Imagine if you take children from a place that I went to call Port Mallard. I don't think I want to go there in my life. That's the end of South Africa. And then you take them to
the end of the world.
Sure. Then you take them to Kimberley, you know. Who must, and as I'm saying, one of the issues I think we must do, I think I hope the message will go to the Minister of Development. But I think Mala, the other thing that I think you must release to say that, one, as a portfolio committee, we were just disappointed with the DG and the senior management. When these entities that come, we can name them, they are not here, so they undermine. And these are the entities who do the work, who get unqualified audits, who do their best at the end of the day. Okay, we might raise questions here to say that, because one of the questions I was asking myself to say that we have no Africans in the middle management, but where do they get the budget? And who's going to do that work? I think those are some of the issues. I was looking at the space that you're working there on, that guy was looking at. That space is very small, you know, and where would you get the budget to increase? And you also need infrastructure as well. Those are some of the issues. Because that's why we always say when you come to Parliament, it's not only about us asking you, also the challenges of us. But if people are who are supposed to take the challenges are not here, but what are we doing about it? You know, I think as a portfolio committee, one of the most, we are the most undermined portfolio by the Department of Arts and Culture. You know, I don't know where to raise issues. I mean, those hundreds of millions that pants up and other decisions are just wasting on nothing. They can do a lot, they can do a lot. And, it is quite disappointing, I must say, to give it 6 million, which is a national museum. And compared to the other national museums, I think it's a disgrace, you know. And we are talking about the very poor province. I agree with Ms. Moss Northern Cape is a very poor province. Most of the people are unemployed. Most of the people, they need rehabilitation because of I think one of the issues is alcohol. When people have got nothing to do, they resort to something that is not good at the end of the day, you know. So I'm just trying to say, I think the superficial communities are the issues that we need to take up. As Master has said, that some of these things, where do we take them from, you know? So those are the issues I'm not really happy about, you know. And I'm not saying you're doing well with your security. You're doing far much better than these museums we visited. There were no security, some of them. That's why they say there's a lot of stealing. If you remember, which one was the one stealing? And I was saying, they have to steal. These smaller ones, they try their best to protect what they have. I remember when we went to KZN and also the security, they were outside. They remember they even refused us to take photos. Yeah. And they were saying it's because of the security issues. But I'm not sure whether are we done already. So these are the issues that need to be taken up. I'm not sure whether these issues, when we take them up, there's action upon them because there's nothing. I have a personal raise with it. I made the Auditor General's office. I've raised the issue of audit fees to say that your fees are really exorbitant. It's just you can't take a smaller entity and compare it with one of those big entities that get millions. You know, I'm not sure. I think we should just make these entities smaller because I think the more they have money, they have problems. Look at Sarah. Look at all of them. And we continue to give them money. Last year, when the portfolio committee was very clear not to keep certain institutions money, people thought that we are crazy or something. Those we know exactly what is happening. So I'm not sure whether. Unfortunately, also Dr. Kiko is not here because one of the questions I've always asked is the monitoring part and the deliverables as well. Do they monitor the deliverables? And what is so unfair? Why should the portfolio committee be the one that get to find out these problems? Why is the monitoring unit in the department? There are units in departments. So, yeah. Okay, I thought I'd just raise those issues. We will see, I think after that we have excuse William Humphrey, maybe those issues that we must discuss on how to move forward. Thank you.
Chairperson, let me conclude another part of my story. What the FN is responding on the answer that one of the department officials were responding to, and saying that did not satisfy with the responding of them. That's why she commented on that response. And then we all followed the queue.
I saw the fire from that door, so I think.
So the CFO, and the CFO must tell us. Responding to the presence of labor. I see my story raised it up now.
No, Chairperson, I'm so sorry that we have to do this. But it is quite evident now that we have posed so many questions to the institution. That, you know, when we have an institution coming to us, to come and account, and we have the department, it's not a matter of just accompanying them to come into here. Some of the issues that we have raised there must be taken into consideration by the department. And you see, if we are going to follow all these questions, from what I'm getting now, the response that I'm getting, maybe it's a futile exercise. Because we know that this is an institution that has done so well, according to the Auditor General's report. And they have stated that, you know, it's so difficult for them because of the budget that they have. And we are asking about other things here that are supposed to be responded to by the department and taken into consideration by the department. I'm just wondering, Chairperson, whether we are going to have the whole time here expecting what is the abbreviation of this constitution? Yeah, answering all these questions, you know, because it's quite evident that the people who are supposed to be here and tell us exactly what they think, how they are going to make progress, are not here from the department. And it means what we are doing here is a futile exercise. Thank you, Chairperson.
I'm sorry, you put in petrol on the fire. But think that's coming up for the last 3 years or 2 years on some of the process in entities that we're not getting proper answer. And the person that really you are responsible for this is the most of the time person in the meeting of the portfolio committee to answering on this type of things. And he's not the one who are now direct appointed and no more acting. So that he can have excuse. I think he's not the one who was direct appointed now. What is the person's name? Of Dima? Dima or what?
Dima is
excuse me?
Dima is not.
Yeah, the same person, that's what we raised a long time with the DG. That the DGG is not coming and answering on this type of thing. And it's his land council to do so. So not only on the point you raised, we must have a serious meeting with the DG and the DGG to clarify the issues. Otherwise you're saying every time we have a fruitless exercise. I don't think the people are appointed just there for this show. Now you are here. He's running away because the boss is saying he must go to Bloemfontein. That we are nothing as MPs. Because he is the assigned by the minister to do something in Bloemfontein. While this entity is coming to the head of the parliament where they must come to present, and we not get satisfied answering in this meeting. And therefore I think we must. On the issues that the AG is reporting in this, and what the presentation is saying of William Humphrey, Arts Gallery, we must get clarified answers by the person responsible for it. Otherwise, we will go for the next year and the next year. And I said earlier, when we close the chapter of this term from 2019-2014, at least we were saying, we live later. But otherwise, really, what do you see? Do you see CEO?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to attempt to answer some of the other answers, other questions. There's quite a lot to get through. The following question was about how many staff members do we have, how many would we like, and have we contacted the National Treasury? Organogram is quite clear, there is no middle management. You'll see that there's our executive authority, then the accounting authority, and then myself. Under that, you have the CFO with an administrative department. Then we have a conservation line function. There's a technician and a curatorial assistant there. Then we have other services where we have our project leaders that attend to our projects as well as special community projects, and our reference library, which is a service to the public, and then we have our security division. What the kind of staff members that we would need to have would fill out that middle gap of middle management. And in a normal situation in a museum, you would have at least a deputy director. You would have a collections manager or a curator. In a small institution like ours, I'm expected to be the curator as well, and it's now impossible. My job as a state is administrative, so you should have curator and collections manager. So we're looking at three positions that are almost impossible not to have. But however, you can't just create those positions and then budget for them and then you see what deficit you have in the budget. You're not allowed to budget for a deficit. The National Treasury will send back your budget for the period and say you cannot budget for a deficit. They will give you your allocation and you have to budget within that allocation. There's no wish list involved in budgeting or budgeting from nil. It doesn't exist. Mr. Reddy also will tell you how the budgets are received from institutions and how they're approved by Treasury. So there's no way to go that route either. I have reported in the annual report and the quarterly report that we have these capacity constraints. But in the face of being told that there is no more funding, I have no funding with which to create the post. In the same way, there are no notch improvements because we get an annual inflation-related improvement per year. So there are no notch improvements. there is no space for incentives because there is no funding. It's pretty much cut and dry. You have your allocation, and Treasury will announce, if I'm correct, will announce an inflation-related improvement. That is intended as an inflation improvement for staff. You cannot, for instance, pay your staff the same improvement as civil servants in a provincial museum. They are considered civil servants, and they will get the negotiated improvement, whereas our staff will get whatever the budget was that we were given by the National Treasury. So it's pretty cut and dried. It's, so to speak, cost and stuff, unless they revisit the whole budgeting or the whole allocation system. So I hope that answers the question about the staff. If you look at our staff, and yes, you've noticed that the black people are at the bottom. 10 years ago, when I took over the position of technical assistant at the gallery, we had 3 general assistants in the gallery that were all black men. They were people who had worked at the gallery for quite a long time and had gained a number of skills, but had been stuck in routine cleaning jobs and messaging services for a number of years. So what we did at that time was to give them an opportunity as a career in key functions in the gallery. We asked them if they would like to further their education. One member of staff did and went out and got his matric. Another member of staff tried and didn't succeed and noted that he didn't actually want to continue with that. However, we put them in positions where they had a career path. And 2 of them have done very well, and 1 resigned and has moved on to other things to do outside of the heritage industry. So they have acquired skills, they have moved on, they have had improvements in their salary, but we've reached the ceiling because the CETA system doesn't make provision for recognition of prior learning. I do believe we had this conversation when you were in Kimberley at the gallery and you met the staff members involved. It's a bit of a dead end situation because we cannot find a way to recognise prior learning in the face of not wishing to continue with formal education. So we have endeavoured to empower our staff to move up through the ranks, but also in the face of an institution that has almost no staff turnover whatsoever, there's very little possibility of employing people into positions that actually better comply with our national imperative at the moment. But it is obviously on the agenda, and we do attempt to get it right. Does that answer the question from the Honourable Member in terms of staff? The CFMA is a fact. We understand that. We endeavour to comply with it. We do our best. Until such time as National Treasury and the relevant departments, whether it's the Accountant General or the Auditor General or whoever, until they actually build into that at the threshold for smaller institutions, we have to do exactly the same as the bigger institutions. I understand that. I just think it's getting more and more difficult. And with the new draft regulations making no difference between departments and entities as it did in the older draft regulations, we're going to be faced with a number of very complex things that we cannot comply with. So somewhere somebody needs to have these conversations at a level that's far, far higher than where I am. There needs to be an understanding of what the PFMA costs and how much of it is actually doable for a small institution. The question of prison follow-up. Working within the correctional services is a very sensitive issue. It's not always possible to even know who the people are that you're working with, let alone why they're there. So once we have done, had participants in the program and they've moved on to another correctional facility, or they've been let out, that's not the right word, I know, they've served their sentences and they move on, it's very difficult to follow up. Sometimes they do come back to us. We've had 2 women that have come back to us and they seem to have made us their mentor. We have a woman who has had, which we helped get microfunding to set up a sewing workshop, and she now has people working under her, and so far so good, she's doing very well. She's managed manage to make a way to make a living and keep themselves out of trouble. It's not always possible to follow up as a result of the sensitivity of the issue. I hope that answer will satisfy the honourable member who asked it. Sometimes it's a woman with a number, you're not even allowed to take a picture of her, let alone know where she went to once she leaves. So that's a very difficult thing to follow up. We have noticed that some of the offenders that have been in our project have gone back into society and have returned. Then we know, well, that didn't work. But that's about as good as it gets. We will now be introducing into the male correctional facility in Kimberley, into that new big correctional facility, we're introducing a program which will assist them to make saleable items from recycled material. We're bringing in an artist that is going to be teaching them to make products from tiles. But there's going to be very little way to have a performance indicator that says, five guys made it out and started a business and now are doing fine. It's almost impossible to get that kind of information because we don't have personal information. I cannot follow an offender through a probationary period, and I can't follow an offender through a personal rehabilitation program once they've been released. So that becomes difficult to achieve. We can follow offenders from one centre to another. Some of the participants get sent from Kimberley to Kroonstad, and then Kroonstad will ask us to help set up programs similar there, or the correctional centres will ask us from Barkley West to help set up a program there. That's about as much idea as we get of the success of the program, other than the one-on-one reaction from offenders when they've learned to knit or learned to crochet or learned to make a pair of trousers, which is not measurable. Donations that were asked by one of the honourable members, other than allocation, are in the report on page 53, I believe. On page 53, you will see note 2, 3, 4, 5, and then 6 is our subsidy received. There is the figure. You'll note that it's not a huge amount of money. Kimberley is a very difficult place. Most head offices are housed in the bigger centres like Bloemfontein, Durban, Johannesburg. And so the general thing is, well, why don't you ask the beers? They're really big, or mining's really big. The fact is the beers have very little presence left in Kimberley. They've all but moved out of Kimberley, and in fact just about moved out of South Africa. So we have an Australian concern running marginal mines that used to be De Beers owned, called Petra. I could approach them for some funding. But generally we find our funding comes from our own activities rather than knocking on the doors of big corporates. Big corporates have no bottom line in the Northern Cape, and that's actually an economic fact. So we will keep trying to raise bigger donations. We will keep trying to get lots of money. We will keep trying to get partnerships where they buy into our project and are happy to help us fund it. But big money in Kimberley is very hard to come by.
Director, I must agree with you. It is not only the beers. Northern Gate is the earmark for a mining province. You know, you are the only, as Urban Council, but you are the only art gallery in that province of nations. And therefore, you service the whole province. And therefore, the operational of those mines in the Northern Gate is in the Northern Gate. So they must contribute to that province. Kumba is Kumba 1, and Kumba 2. And there is the iron ore we export out of South Africa. or you can approach those big minds, because the people from China, Japan, and Korea, they are the people who buying the iron ore from South Africa and from your province. So I think you must look to them.
Early childhood development. Yes, we've been running the project for 21 years, but we have no partnership with the Department of Education in this regard. We have tried a number of occasions to get funding to run this project, but it has become bogged down with all sorts of bureaucratic requirements. For instance, the CETA will say, are you an accredited trainer? No, we're not an accredited trainer, but we do have skills and resources which we can use towards assisting preschool kids from disadvantaged areas to gain some skills which will assist them in a formal school career. And if the fact of us not being an accredited trainer prevents us from assisting these children, it would actually be a very poor day. We have had follow-up with a number of children who've gone into good schools and have been able to compete and come out with a good education. I don't run this project. It's run by Mrs. Bosman, the one who you saw being arrested by the Cancer Jail Bail Project. She is passionate about these children, and she and her assistants spend a lot of time attempting to lessen the gap between children from shantytown and a child that comes from an affluent home that has grown up with papers and colouring in crayons, pencils, books, scissors and glues and all of these things that actually teach the skills that they need to go to school, puzzles and stories and reading from books. We only reach a drop in the ocean if you consider how many children run around in those informal settlements with no stimulation whatsoever. So those that we do deal with, you can see the difference from when they come there at the beginning of the year and when they leave at the end of the year, because we keep a book of all their drawings, all their paintings, all their little exercises, and you can see from a child who couldn't hold a pencil to a child who can actually write his name. So we know that the project works. Again, it's very difficult to find a performance indicator. We can report to you how many children we see and how many times they came to the gallery, but it's very difficult to make a performance indicator in terms of how the development is, in terms of some sort of useful information that you might use to quantify the success of the program. We have had quite a lot of contact with the education department in some of our other projects, but not on a formal basis. It has been not under the auspices of a formal agreement or a memorandum of understanding. It has been working at ground level with people in those departments who will assist us in terms of knowledge for our projects, like what are the literature set works for the year for the grades 10 to 12. What are the approved films or productions for the community to add value to their curriculum? At the moment, we're dealing with the department because everybody, I believe, knows about the Bloodhound Project, which is the British land speed record in one of the Northern Cape pans. We're dealing with the education department to find out which schools are there in the Northern Cape province, because we're running an art competition with the Bloodhound team. There are collaborations, probably more than partnerships. There is an informal working together on certain levels, but not any formal memorandum of understanding. Does that answer that question adequately?
Yes.
want to know, what is the name of a Neoton in English?
There is no such name. But a very exciting project. Compliance.
I think what we must do, we must summarize, because we must conclude the thing. Because you know, today is the pastor day, and members must still have lunch and express themselves. So we are in the center.
Okay.
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 Yeah, and that's also the thing that we will give attention as members before we leave the room. Over to you.
Would you like me to answer a couple of questions more? Or well, some of them are obviously going to be dealt with at that level, and some of them are going to be dealt with at committee level. May I answer then some questions in terms of, there was a question about the Khoisan people. I'd like to answer that. We have a lot of contact with the Khoisan people. Firstly, with the 220 people who are situated outside of Kimberley on that farm called Platfontein. I think everybody is aware of the fact that they are the people that were involved in the border wars with the South African Defence Force in those years, and they're now living in Kimberley. We do, from time to time, some work in terms of teaching printing skills, painting skills. This sometimes happens through the Scooter Wag Press, and sometimes it happens on a more specific one-on-one basis. But we have direct contact with them. Sometimes also through SASI, which is the SAN Institute of Southern Africa. We have contact with the group of SAN people who live up on the border of our country near the Kalahari Transfrontier Park. This is the sort of famous Kropa family who laid claim to the whole of that Transfrontier Park. They were successful in their claim and then were given a lot of ground in the area, obviously not the park ground. But we have had workshops with them. Our outreach project has gone up there, has acted with their, interacted with their school children. We have presented workshops for the women that are unemployed and live in the most appalling conditions. In fact, we are going to be going there in March again. I think I mentioned that we were wanting to be there at the time of the Festival of Indigenous People. So we have ongoing contact with the Kraper clan up in that area, as well as the Kulinkwe people in our own area. And if there was ever a group of people that was exploited and devastated, it surely is them. We cannot speak their language. We're lucky that we have Afrikaans as a language that we can communicate with, but we do have involvement with them. We also do exhibit their work. So yes, that answers that question. Internships, we have had volunteers from time to time. Internships are a much more formal matter. We would like to perhaps find somebody who would sponsor an intern. I do believe the department has a program. We have had conversations in this regard with some of the responsible officials, and we will hopefully be able to take part in that program. Sometimes, though, it must be said that having volunteers and interns takes up a lot of staff time, so it's a kind of a chicken and egg situation. You sometimes spend a lot of time teaching somebody to do something, and in fact you should have educated staff who do that, because then it's more than helping us do our job, it's actually helping them acquire new skills and empowering them to do the job. So if you have serious intent, one should actually be doing empowering them, not getting somebody to work for us for free. I'd like to answer the question about the mission statement and how much of our activities are Northern Cape related and how much is national. In fact, the collection is so well respected that on a national level we lend our collection out to institutions almost constantly. We also lend our collections out to institutions internationally. So our involvement at a national level is actually established, well established. In this recent month, I had quite a few interest, quite a academics from all over the country, because we had promised a painting, a significant painting, to an exhibition that was due to travel to China. In fact, it had, that Chinese exhibition hasn't happened, but we there was somebody at UNESCO who had forgotten to tell us that that same painting was required for an exhibition at UNESCO. So we had academics from UNESCO, we had academics from this, we had academics from all over the place haranguing us about the importance of this particular painting for their exhibition. So yes, on a national level, we are significant. There are works of art in that collection which would be the proud part of any collection in the metropolitan area. So we're not simply a provincial museum. The question about what other art galleries are there, you've got three national ones. You've got Iziko National Gallery, you've got the William Humphreys Art Gallery, and you've got 11 Lakes at the National Museum in Bloemfontein. The other museums are all provincial. Johannesburg, Pretoria, Durban, Pietermaritzburg, East London, Polokwane, Port Elizabeth are all municipal art museums, and they obviously get their funding and their instruction from the municipal, from the local government departments. I'd like to answer the question about why so little black artists. It might look so this year. If you take a broad look at since 2001 to now, you'll see some years are excellent, other years are not so good. This year that we reported on was not so good. It is not as easy as walking into a supermarket and saying, well, I have that much and that much and that much of that. Sometimes there isn't anything on the market, and I'm not saying they're not good black artists or good young black artists. What I'm saying is the endeavors of council at the moment are firstly to fill the gaps in terms of those artists that are getting harder and harder to find. So it's very important that we concentrate on the likes of Dan Rokwati, Lukwin Shilakwi, Duran Sishali, Gerard Sakota. I could give you a whole name of people that we're consciously looking for, and we've done very well. I speak without hesitation if I say in terms of Peter Clark, who's made great strides in the public awareness just recently. We have been able in the last short while to collect the biggest public collection of his work. There was a wonderful exhibition at the Standard Bank in Johannesburg, Standard Bank Gallery, and it was repeated in Cape Town. If you went through that provenance of those works, you would have seen that 21 of them came from our collection. And the same is starting to happen in terms of rare artists like Dan Rokwati and Sakura Shilakwe. We have now got 10 or 12 or 15 works by those artists. So it just so happened that this year there was less. In the year, that the current year, we were, for instance, able to purchase a piece by Johannes Bekele, who's the most exciting black artist currently around. We spent $200 on a major work by Johannes Bekele. He was a man raised and born and raised in Soweto, went overseas, studied at the finest United Kingdom art salons and schools, and here we have internationally one of the most fine black artists, and we were able to buy a significant work by him for $200,000. So when you look at the next year's figures, you'll see that next year it'll look better. So it doesn't always go evenly. It's sometimes bottlenecks, it sometimes races on, and it sometimes just is not quite where you would have liked to have been. If that does answer your question. There are a number of other questions. How much time do I have?
Other questions, if we didn't respond to, we can just put in the writing and then we'll think about it.
Okay. I will endeavor to do that message. To wrap up very briefly, I would hope that you assured that the staff, the council and staff of the William Humphreys Gallery have really tried their best. They're dedicated, they're enthusiastic, they're loyal. They do things that are outside of what they were employed to do. you want something else to be done at the William Humphreys Art Gallery, you chat to a staff member about it, and you just add it at the bottom of the job description. It works so far, but we have to consider that there's a fine line between dedication and enthusiasm and a little bit of exploitation. We're going to have to deal with the constraints. Other than just reporting them every time to you, we're going to have to deal with the constraints and see how we can maintain the output. Maintaining output is a little bit discouraging. We would like to be developing plans and developing projects and developing concepts. Just maintaining output isn't satisfying. We would like to be developing, so we need to address our constraints. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Honourable Member.
I
think
there's a question from a story on the one of the Stockholm.
Oh,
yeah.
Or would you care for me to answer it?
Yeah, answer the question and we'll thank you for that you're coming to present to the committee. Yeah.
Yeah. If I might give you a bit of history, in 2001, Mr. Stockenstrom and I took over the administration of the gallery. In 2003, more or less, I put out an advert for an art project leader at the gallery. And Kimberley, being the smallest, the small place that it is, one of the applicants who applied was, in fact, Mr. Stockenstrom's daughter. The applications were shortlisted by the council and the audit committee, the financial committee, and eventually a number of applicants were employed. And clearly the correct candidate for the job was Rebecca Stockenstrom. Mr. Stockenstrom was in no way involved at any stage with the appointment of this young woman to our staff, and he doesn't work with her at any stage during the course of his daily duties. It was disclosed at council. It was disclosed during the application shortlisting and interviews, and it's disclosed in the annual report. So yes, we understand that this is a sensitive issue, but we have done everything in our power to disclose the related party matter. The auditor, as much as he's picked our business apart with a fine tooth comb, has accepted that this is disclosed in the correct fashion. It's on page 64 in the annual report.
Director, respond on your question of the two stockholders to person in the report. You just clarify that one on your question.
Honourable Member, I don't believe it's the question.
It was one of those first questions before,
well, okay.
Before we break for tea.
Oh, okay.
It was her question. But it said also on page 1.
It is disclosed on page 64. Honourable Member, would you care for me to repeat the...
Yes.
Okay. Is that right? In about 2001, Mr. Stockenstrom and myself took over the administration of the gallery when the predecessor, Mrs. Holloway, left. In 2003, more or less, I don't have the exact date before me, we set out an advert for an art project leader. And Kimberley, being the small place that it is, one of the applicants was, in fact, Rebecca Stockenstrom, who is Mr. Stockenstrom's daughter. The finance committee assisted in shortlisting the candidates, and Ms. Stockenstrom was on the shortlist. In fact, after all interviews were conducted, she was the correct candidate for the job. So in terms of disclosure, it was disclosed at council level. It was disclosed at the financial committee interviews. It was disclosed in the annual report. You will see on page 64 that it is disclosed here. So it is a sensitive issue, we accept that, but it has passed muster at the Auditor General's level in terms of the disclosure. So we trust that will satisfy you as an answer. At no stage does the Rebecca Stockenstrom work with Mr. Stockenstrom or under him. She works directly under me.
Speaker of Parliament to see you and the Minister to be also working in the same institution. Maybe we'll get it in that way.
The father knows how much everybody earns. Yes.
I like to ask one of other members to do the thing for one further. So therefore my story, I want you to bring the William Humphrey for the council present the committee and the activities. Over to you, Master. Okay.
Thank you, Jefferson. Thank you, Jefferson, for really, I feel very honored. I'm going to be thanking you for coming to Parliament. It was my wish that at one stage we will meet you. I was very impressed when you went there. I think all my friends were impressed. And we thought at some stage we'll meet you and hear all the details that we needed to hear, and here it is. And for the fact that you have been keeping your books so clean, it's very important when you account to, you comply to TFMA, you must keep it up. And we wish that all the people concerned will really consider your situation and try and improve, because what we are looking at is the committee and everybody with the public representative is for us to improve the lives of those who are really at the peril. Thank you for me.
You are welcome. On the story, you can be excused, ladies and gentlemen. But the members, I think the chairperson said in the beginning, we must stay behind, I think so. 10 minutes, yeah.
Thank you, members. Just in the 10 minutes, the issue that I wanted to raise, I believe all of you have received the files for the Panthal board. Mgolis was also present, but Mgolis, I think members, because of the budget, was not sure if they want to refresh. So I don't know for who does still refresh. So I'm not sure if I'm getting a new file around. I'm not sure. But all I'm saying is that okay, can we look at those applications? I know Manshana and the website, they don't have those forms, the files. I'm shocked. I said the Machabu, their secretary, because I believe every one of us. Okay, then that's why I was surprised. That means you're secretary or administrator of the university. Really, I've so please look at them. One of the criteria that we're looking at is that number one is the issue of gender. I'm going to be there for a minute. Most of these boards are chaired by men. I think it's time that we have a woman who chairs for them. But secondly, I believe that we must use the principle of the 50-50 now. You know, I thought you would agree with me. Yeah. Okay. Issues of race, issues of everything would be included. I believe in the application there's only one person with disability that abstain in the application. But what I want members to consider is that we look good. What I will do is just one thing we should consider is that we've made mistakes that I think led to council to the drain was that we looked only for professors. Not to think there's something wrong with you when a doctor or professor, but most of them are just academics, but they don't have the admin side.
So I think that those are the issues that we have to look at to say we look at we can look at the areas. Some of them are specialists in Mexico, what some are specialists in dealing with, like Dr. So I'm just saying let's try and look at the things with a broad mind, you know, think about support, not specifically say that now we are focusing on languages because that's what we're still concerned with the support. There are some members of the board from the previous board that we recommended to 13 masters who have applied. To me personally, I would even consider those people to try the favors. The previous chair of the previous board has also applied. And I think the caretaker of personal CEO has also applied. I just put in another thing. But I'm just saying, what we'll do, Jabu and those, Uncle has done, I would like members to open their emails, please. He has done a spreadsheet with you, and I believe. A spreadsheet that to say that, Police has done a spreadsheet to say it is devised in four, I think. Then you're able to check which one you think, this one has got this one has got this skill. You'll see it as you open your spreadsheet. But I'll give him a chance only next week because I see all of us are in a rush now. So, and other thing that I wanted to raise, the issue of transfers. Today was supposed to come, they told us they can't come. It was a story and a half, it's just the silliness of the department again. They couldn't come, and the chairperson, the caretaker, said, was going on papers, saying that the portfolio committee has never called him. I don't know how they've read that. Mm-hmm. We've never called him, and then he will not take instructions of the previous board, and I'm not telling new instructions. I hope we'll saw. But I blame the department, I blame the DG for that, because we have been saying this many, many times. Spoke to the minister as well, and now the FENI has taken the minister to court. So it's getting now, they are saying they are waiting for the legal department. And I believe, unfortunately, the Southern Africa ISD won't discuss the details of what they've done. So now they have issued that they will also take us to court because we as parliament have set an instruction, but who is not going to. There are a lot of issues I think next week we'll discuss them in our meeting. But what I'll also ask is for, I know some have got two committees, but what I will do, I would ask us to write a letter to the House Chair to request that in the next few weeks so that we can speak this and do interviews. Maybe after, in during the House sessions, just to meet if members don't mind. I hope they won't have a problem with that. Maybe just ask to meet so that we can finish this process. And I thought that it's something that's just really. Sorry.